If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before, and that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Portions of this podcast have been edited due to copyright.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Now it's time for the Mercedes in the Morning Pre-Show, Mix 94.1.
Good morning and welcome to the pre-show. It is Thursday, August 27th. It is 5:32. Welcome. Thank you guys for being here with us this morning. It is, yeah, almost the end of August, getting ready for September next week, which is crazy. How you doing this morning?
Crazy to think about, yeah. I'm good. Yesterday I had, usually I work out at my gym in my apartment complex, but yesterday I was like, you know what? I'll just work out in my office. You have some dumbbells and a yoga mat. So I put it out. And immediately, Momo, my dog, thinks I'm trying to play with him.
Oh.
And I'm like, okay, Momo. And he brings me his toy because he sees me on the ground doing crunches and stuff. He's like, oh, Mom wants to play. So immediately I was like, this is a bad idea. So
no at home workouts.
Yeah, and you know what I did? I did in between, like, I would try to like hide the toy so it would take him a while to try and find it. And then when he would find it, he'd run up to me and be like, okay, Mom, I got my squeaky toy. And so it was an interesting workout yesterday, but I think lesson learned is I'm just going to go back to my apartment complex gym.
Or close the door. Although he'd probably whine, I guess.
Oh, huh? Yeah, he would bark. He'd be like, Mom, what you doing? Why is the office door closed?
Yeah, that makes him even more curious. And then my dogs used to like put their nose right at the bottom of the door and you could like see a little paw come out from underneath like... It's like, what are you doing
yes,
in there?
That's exactly it. This is such big personalities. How was your night?
It was good. Watched Big Brother. Is anyone else watching Big Brother this season? I am like, I watch it every summer. And this, man, this cast, there's just so much drama.
Yes.
So I have been watching that. We watched that last night. And then, yes, I was so excited because I think I mentioned this earlier this week. My nail tech was out of the country, went on like a 3-week vacation, and I had to move an appointment that I had scheduled with her because I have to run out of town. And she said, you know, I'll get back to you when I can find something. She never got back to me. I was like, oh, I really need to get in. My nails are so janky. And so I just on a whim texted her. I'm like, I know you're busy, but just wanted to see if you had any openings. So she was able to get me in yesterday. I was so happy. I mean, it's the little things, really. I just feel so much more put together. I had like one broken nail. One was all snaggly. The polish was coming off. I looked so bad. And so I don't know why. I walked out of there like, oh, I feel so much better now.
You know, going back to Big Brother, James is watching it and he is obsessed right now. And I've watched a couple episodes with him. Even though I'm not hooked, there are some people on there that, oh, I just want to like, what are you doing?
Oh, don't even get me started. Yeah, they're just like not good people and a lot of liars. And
yes!
I get you have to bend the truth to get ahead somewhat, but you can do that without being like hurtful to people, mm-hmm. I think. And I don't know. I would never be able to last on that show. My husband asked me once, like, do you think you could ever do Big Brother? And the answer is absolutely not.
No.
My feelings would get hurt so badly. I am way too sensitive for something like that.
Same. I couldn't lie. It's so hard for me to lie. And on top of it, it's the clicks within the clicks that no one knows about. And they're lying to each other about, oh yeah, you know, that person did this. And I'm like, what are you talking about? No, they didn't. And so I'm following along like I've been watching from episode one.
Hey, you can jump right in. If you had to do a reality show, what show do you think you would be good at?
Probably The Weakest Link.
The Weakest, like, is that Jane like Lynch. A reality show? Competition show where you had to like stay on it and be a part of it, like a Survivor or a Love Island or something like that.
What is the one that where they go around the world?
That's the one I was going to say. Yeah, the Amazing Race.
Yes!
I would kill at that. I am so good at navigating like in other countries and stuff. I would kill at that.
I don't know how well I would do, but I'd love to just be a part of it.
Yeah, so lots coming up on the show this morning, guys. Thanks for being here. We are going to hook you up with those tickets to see the Jonas Brothers 7:30 with the Mega Minute. Also, Paseo Verde Little League, they are headed to the Little League World Series Championship, coming off a big win yesterday. We are going to talk to Carson Meyer. She's the only girl left playing in the tournament, and get her thoughts. Talk about what to expect coming up at 7:20 this morning.
You're listening to Mercedes in the Morning on Mix 94.1.
There's an article going around right now breaking down how every generation is different when it comes to defining what makes a good mom. And it felt like there was four different women describing, you know, four different ways of doing something right. I don't feel like there's a wrong answer on that, but what do you personally feel like makes a good mom? According to this thing, boomers measured good mom energy by whether the kids were fed, dressed, safe, not actively on fire, nothing like that, you know, and just the basics. Do they have a roof over their head? Are they dressed? Then I'm a good mom if I'm able to do that, which is valid. Like that is being a good mom, giving them the basics,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and I could see that, especially during that generation, like the 60s, the 70s, the 50s and 60s is what like the boomers generation, right, when they were born?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so it kind of gives them like, hey, we either immigrated from another place, as we got food on the table, the shelters on, clothes on our back, and we're good.
Gen X apparently thinks that being a good mom means loving your kids really, really fiercely, but also telling them, like, get outside, figure it out on your own. Like, giving them a little bit of that independence to screw up. It's kind of like, okay, call me if there's an emergency. Otherwise, use your brain, basically, is what I got from that. Millennials, they're out here trying to be like emotionally available therapists for their kids.
Wow.
Which is, I mean, these are all things kids need. I do understand it. You know, they want to be there and help talk them through things and walk them through things and be like their confidant. That's what the millennial parents are doing. And this sounds so weird because in my mind, Gen Z is really young, but Gen Z is having parents or having kids. So Gen Z parents, they're raising their kids like these, like fully formed humans with opinions. Like they're determined not to lose their identity just because they're raising a kid. They're like, you're on your own, kids. Kind of like the Gen Xers a little bit. So what do you think? If you have to look at all these, what do you think is the best method? What do you think you are? What do you think you were raised by? What makes a good mom? 702-364-9400.
Immediately going into this, as a millennial, I'm already thinking emotional security, having a safe space. So it's funny how those both they're both the same. But it's like, I want to go home to a mom that I'm able to be completely honest with, and she wouldn't judge me. She would listen to me first. I don't feel like I have to hide who I really am and go to her for my problems. And I'm not saying she has to fix them, but just someone to listen to me and to help me navigate my emotions when I'm not, you know, maybe in the right headspace. And my mom has definitely helped me through those times. I think about it as a kid. So I would say that defines a good mom to me.
For me, I mean, I look at my parenting style versus some of these, and I feel like I'm kind of a hybrid. I feel like I've got the Gen X piece, kind of the, you know, I'll trust you until you give me a reason not to trust you mentality. Like, I do not want to keep my kids on a short leash. I want them to explore things and make mistakes because I really think that's the only way they're going to learn. So I try not to hover in that aspect. On the other side, I feel like I've got this millennial layer stitched into it because I do want to be emotionally present. I have been from, you know, I think I have been. I want my girls to feel heard. I want them to actually feel understood. But I don't want them to, like, latch on to the point where they're so dependent on me. You know what I mean?
Yes, I
want them to have a little independence. So I don't know. I think there's a bunch of good parts from all of these. We're getting some texts here. This says Gen X mom checking in. My kid asked to talk about his feelings. And I said, sure, in the car, we're already late. That's funny. This one says, my mom was a boomer through and through. If the house didn't burn down, she thought it was a win for us. Millennial mom, I explained the why behind every rule, and my son still asks again why. Ashley says, Gen X mom of three, I say figure it out more than I say I love you. And honestly, they know what I mean.
Welcome to another episode of Mercedes in the Morning. And now, here's your host, Mercedes.
Good morning and welcome to the show. It is 6:03. It is Thursday, August 27th. Thanks for being here, guys. Almost to the weekend. So excited. How you feeling this morning?
I'm so good. It's pretty cloudy out there, huh?
Yeah, it's a little cloudy. It was yesterday. So about once a month, we have one of those mobile car detailers come to our house and wash. We have three cars that wash all three. We put all three of them on the street. He comes and cleans them. So excited because my car was a mess. And so he washed my car, and then I had some errands to run. So I go, and I go to my appointments, and then I come out to my car, and I see water on the ground. And I was like, it didn't rain while I was in there, did it? And I'm like, no, maybe just something leaked or something. I go to my car. There's raindrops all over it.
No kidding.
Literally within an hour of getting my car washed.
Oh my God.
I don't know. It was here in the southwest part of town, literally like maybe a mile from here that I had an appointment.
Around what time?
It was around 3:30 yesterday afternoon.
Okay.
And I don't know if there was just some flash shower down here or something, but it was just enough to completely dirty up my car again. I was like, of course. That's a, you know, it is what it is. I got home and I was mad about it at first, but then I'm like, why are you getting mad about something so stupid? Like, seriously, it's fine, you know? Mm-hmm. So you and I were kind of talking about this. I need everyone to think back to one specific school year, okay? Think back to when you were a kid and think back to that school year that makes you just kind of cringe a little bit. I guess your kid's kind of going through it right now, or your friend's kid's going through it right now?
Yes, I was talking to my friend yesterday and she was like, yeah, you know, so-and-so just started sixth grade. I was like, oh my gosh, tell me all about it. You know, it's the first year of middle school. And she goes, she hates it. I'm like, what? I loved that first year of middle school. What? Why? What's going on? She's like, it is so awkward for her. She loved being like one of the older kids in elementary school. And now she just feels like brand new, like, you know, like a caterpillar. And she just doesn't feel like comfortable whatsoever. And I guess like she's like, I hate going from teacher to teacher. I miss just having one teacher. And I guess before the first day of school, it was she was practicing her locker. And she was like trying to memorize her combination. She goes, 3, and then you have to go to the right, 12. And she said she couldn't get it, so she practiced it over and over and over again. And it's an adjustment period, of course, but right now she says sixth grade is the worst grade she's ever been a part of.
It's a big transition going from elementary where you're a baby essentially, and then now they want you to do some big kid things that you're not used to. And while I completely understand where she's coming from, hopefully, you know, her mom knows this is going to be really good for her.
Yeah,
you know? It sounds like maybe she needs a little bit of leash to go on, you know. Maybe maybe mom and the school was like helping her too much. But yeah, it's an interesting question to ask, like, what was the worst grade if you have to look back. I would go close to her. I would go seventh grade. I sixth grade, you're still trying to figure out, but I feel like there's still a little bit of a grace period because okay. everyone's new at the same time, right? But seventh grade, that's really when the training wheels, they come off and nobody warns you. And that's the year the kids get meaner and they get, they are hormonal and insecure and trying to figure out the social hierarchy. So someone's got to get knocked down a couple of pegs to make everyone else feel better about themselves. And the classes get harder too in seventh grade. So to me, if I had to pick a worst grade, I'd go with seventh grade.
See, and I was telling my friend, I was like, oh, just wait till she hits junior year, because for me, junior year, I think academically and overall the pressures of college really got to me. Like the AP classes, honors, like, where are you going to go to school? Did you fill out your financial aid apps or do on March 2nd? And then like SAT this, ACT that. And honestly, I think back on my years of high school and I think, or just grade school in general, and junior year, just that pressure academically was a lot for me.
But then you have senior year to look forward to, and it's cakewalk, right?
The easiest year ever.
I was looking at our family calendar today, and my daughter, who's a senior in high school, she's got her little thing on there, and it says, make senior crowns, senior breakfast. So she's like, I'm like, oh man, it's that time.
What are you senior crowns?
They make these crowns and they wear them and they decorate them. Like Google it. Senior crowns are so cool. All sorts of different designs, and all the seniors walk around wearing these senior crowns, and they get like donuts today, and then they have sunrise. So I did something. I think I mentioned this, since it's the class of 27. If you're a senior mom, you're supposed to do something nice for your senior on the 27th of each month.
Yeah.
So today's the 27th. So I got her a gift card to her favorite place, which is Swig, for $27. I'm like, happy 27th, senior. And she was like, Mom! I had to give it to her last night, but because I was like, I'll be too busy today. But it was, she was really excited
about
that.
Sounds like Swigs on Brooklyn.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we have a lot coming up on the show this morning. So excited about this. Palo Verde Little League, they are headed to the Little League World Series Championships. They're coming off their big win yesterday. We're going to talk to the only girl left playing in the tournament, playing for Paseo Verde Little League, Carson Meyer. That is coming up at 7:20 this morning. Plus, tickets to see 5 Seconds of Summer with Beat Mercedes at 7. We've got a pair of tickets for you for the Jonas Brothers with the Mega Minute at 7:30. And at 8:25, tickets for Lindsey Stirling with Heads Up.
You're listening to Mercedes in the...
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.
Morning on Mix 94.1.
So, if you've been on social media for the past couple of weeks, you may have run into this. There's this controversy taking over, and they're calling it Oreo Gate. I love group chat drama. I don't know why. it makes me laugh so hard. And this one involves lunchboxes, Oreos, and a mom who moonlights as a lunchbox detective, I guess. There's this creator who's been posting screenshots from her kids' school mom group chat. And she actually ran the text through that app called Suno, which is like an AI audio thing, and it'll make songs out of things you submit. Mm-hmm. And so she is uploading the group chats into Suno, and then it's singing. So it's singing the conversation back. It's really, really funny. So this, the whole thing has turned into a song, and it's a whole saga. That basically one mom in the group asked all the moms to please stop sending Oreos in their kids' lunches because her daughter really wants them, but she doesn't allow her to have them. And watching her friends eat Oreos is just too much for her child to bear. So the other moms, understandably, are not thrilled with being told what they're allowed to pack in their kids' lunch. So the response was kind of like, well, sorry, our kids are allowed Oreos. You're going to have to figure this one out on your own. Here's part one. Listen to this. Again, this is ran through an AI app that created the group chat into a song.
Hi, everyone. Sorry, slightly awkward one, but could we maybe agree on some basic rules around lunchboxes? Of course. Ava came home really upset yesterday because one of the girls had Oreos in her lunch.
Oh, why was she upset?
We don't allow that kind of thing at home, so obviously she wanted them when she saw someone else eating them. I just wondered if we could agree not to send things like
Oreos, chocolate, etc.
So the kids aren't comparing lunches. I mean, I sent the Oreos.
Oh!
I was dying!
Oh my god!
Is that not the funniest thing ever?
No way! It sounds like, you know, remember on the movie Hercules?
It's like
those four girls singing? It sounded just like that.
And then she does that for every conversation. Here's another part.
Well, I really didn't want to bring this up again, but Ava came home upset again today.
Please don't say Oreos.
Yes, actually, someone sent them again.
That would be me.
Right, so after our conversation yesterday, they were already in her lunchbox, Michelle. I'm sorry, but this is getting ridiculous, which is why I've emailed the teacher about Oreos, about having some.
That's how bad it got. So this mom emails the teacher, asks them to ban Oreos. Basically, the school sends out an email that says, hey, we encourage healthy snacks, but ultimately it's up to the parent to decide what to do. So she didn't get her way. It goes on and on. You have to watch it. She ends up going through one of the kids' lunch boxes to see if they brought Oreos because they started giving them to her daughter. It's like a whole thing.
What, how old are these kids? Like 5 years old or something?
No,
like that?
I think I want to say they're older. I want to say they're like third or fourth grade.
Ridiculous.
I get wanting to protect your kids' feelings, but when is that? Is it too far? Is that just ridiculous? Do you think it's okay for one mom to ask all the other moms to not do something just because your kid doesn't get to do it, or you don't allow your kid to do it? What do you think of that? 702-364-9400.
I think if it's an allergy involved, of course. It's your health, you know, if it's peanuts or whatever it may be, that is so reasonable.
Yeah, because there's a difference between my kid could die versus my kid feels a certain way about it.
I'm sorry, my kid can't eat cane sugar because it's not good for them. Like, that's ridiculous. Now, it's ridiculous, but I would understand if it was affecting like a mental health thing or whatever. But just because you don't allow it in your household, tell your kid to have some self-control.
Yeah, should a parent ever have to keep something out of their kid's lunch because another parent doesn't allow it for theirs? Like, and be honest, if you found out a mom went through your kid's lunchbox looking for cookies, are you laughing about it, or are you showing up at pickup ready to throw hands? Like, what do you do in that situation? 702-364-9400. Hey, Naomi, good morning. What do you think?
Good morning. I think my mom is ridiculous. That's her choice for her kid. And she can't push her views and her choices on other people. And that's just wrong. And there's healthier versions of Oreos if she listens to this radio station. There's Numenos. There's JoJo's from Trader Joe's. If you want your kid to have something fun to eat, go find healthier options. Don't push your views on other people. That's just wrong.
Couldn't agree more, Naomi. Seriously. It's like, just because you don't, your kid doesn't have it, doesn't mean all the other kids shouldn't have it. We're getting some texts here. Jessica says, I would have sent that mom a Costco-sized box of Oreos with a note that said, for emotional support. Danielle says, okay, but as a teacher, I've seen this exact fight happen in real life, and it's always the same mom every single time. Amanda says, my daughter has a nut allergy, and even though I think this is different, don't compare my kid's ER visit to someone's Oreo feelings. And then this says, team Oreo moms all the way. You don't get to outsource your parenting boundaries. It's funny because the moms, you got to watch this whole series. It's so funny. The other moms created a separate group chat, and then they started conspiring to bring Oreos every day.
Oh, gosh.
Just to you know, show that she's being ridiculous. But let's talk to Maria really quick. Hey, Maria, good morning. What do you think?
Oh, good morning, Mercedes. Well, I'm a special education teacher, and I teach intermediate autism, and my students are able to learn self-control. You know, I have students that want everything other kids want, and you can teach your student not to do that. You can teach your kid, we don't need this. And you're right, I do have a peanut allergy in my classroom, so peanuts are not allowed whatsoever, any peanut products. But the cookie Oreo cookies, there's thin Oreos. Like, she could just give the kid one Oreo or something like that. Not a lot, not tell the other parents what she's doing.
Yeah.
I think she's out of her mind. She needs to practice self-control.
I agree. Yeah, put that on your kid to learn that. You guys want to hear another part
yes,
of this?
Yes, before? Please.
Apparently offered to swap her yogurt pouch for two Oreos. She negotiated for them. I'm sorry, that's actually hilarious. She's fine. She doesn't understand why we don't allow that kind of stuff. Michelle, she literally organized a trade-izer. Thought they were swapping snacks. This is exactly why I've been saying something needs to be done.
I fear Ava might actually be the mastermind behind Oreo Gate.
Oh my God, Lin-Manuel Miranda better watch out for his gig, because so that funny. Was incredible. That storytelling.
I think it's like a 12-part series, and I would literally wait every day for them to download the next part because I'm so invested in this whole thing. So yeah, just look up Oreo Gate, and if you're that mom, stop, please, just stop.
Hot. It's time for the Hot 3 on Mix 94.1.
We lost Dolly Parton this week, and I think a lot of people are still just trying to comprehend that. She passed away Tuesday in Nashville at 80 years old after a brief battle with cancer. Tributes have been pouring in from every corner of the country, the music industry, and beyond. But in the middle of all that, people have been bringing back the idea of renaming Nashville International Airport after her. A petition had gone around years ago, and they just feel like that is the appropriate move, especially in her death. It did start back in January. It was launched by some fans who wanted Music City's airport to carry the name of the woman who gave the state its identity. The petition points to more than 100 million books she's handed out through her Imagination Library, along with decades of philanthropy that touched everything from disaster relief to children's literacy. And it's now passed 122,000 signatures, tens of thousands added just this week, which it's funny because Dolly, she joked about this exact idea once. She said she loved the thought of passengers hearing that their flights were departing from D. Parton.
That is so cute.
Isn't she adorable?
What a slogan that would be.
D. Parton from D. Parton. it was a throwaway line at the time, but now I think that people are jumping on this. I hope they do that. I hope they change the name to Dolly Parton International Airport. It is so appropriate.
I wish the airports were named more after musicians. Like, I don't know any, at least here in the United States. In the UK, they have John Lennon Airport. I believe
they do.
I don't know. From what I've seen on the internet. But like if I'm from California, like if you're departing LAX, what if it was like Tupac International or like Dr. Dre. I think that would be kind of fun.
I mean, I think it, as long as they made a huge impact, but yeah, you're going to get people that love it and hate it. You know, I like it being named for people who made big differences,
yeah.
You know, whether they were a musician or a politician or whatever. But this, I just think this is so appropriate and I hope this gains some steam. Also this morning, do you remember way back in 2020 when we all turned into raccoons hoarding our 12 packs of Charmin during the pandemic?
How did we forget?
Oh my gosh, there's a new trade fight brewing over Canadian goods, and toilet paper is caught right in the middle of it. A huge chunk of the wood pulp that is used to make American toilet paper actually comes from Canada. And Procter & Gamble, the company behind Charmin, has already said prices are going up because they have to cover this new tariff cost. So we imported over $300 million worth of Canadian toilet paper last year alone, and stores like Costco lean on that supply chain heavily. So no one's predicting empty shelves like 2020, but just be on the lookout. Maybe grab one extra. The price too at checkout, it's about to feel a lot different when you restock.
Gosh, remember in COVID too, it was like limit two per person or even just limit one per person because people were getting greedy.
Yeah, I noticed people, they tend to overreact in situations like that where they think they have to get it all. I saw that with the Dolly stuff. People are going crazy trying to buy her cake mixes and hoarding all of them. You know, she had this like deal with Duncan Hines.
Yeah.
Everyone's like taking them all off shelves and then selling them on eBay for a profit. Same thing with, she did a collaboration with Khloe Kardashian's Good American Jeans. She did a whole Dolly line of jeans. People are buying up the jeans so they can resell them. And it's not like you're reselling toilet paper. Well, maybe you are. I don't know. But it's just, people just get so into this mentality like mine, like those seagulls.
Imagine going on Poshmark and there it is, a 24 roll of toilet paper for $20.
You never know. Finally, this morning, ChatGPT can now send texts on your behalf. What could go wrong there? A new plugin connects its
full of toilet paper for $20.
You never know. Finally, this morning, ChatGPT can now send texts on your behalf. What could go wrong there? A new plugin connects it straight into your Apple messages, lets it read through your threads, summarize what you've been ignoring, and draft replies for you to approve before anything goes out. So instead of texting your friend back yourself, you will now be able to have a separate conversation with a robot about how to text your friend back. The internet went straight to worst case scenario on this territory. I just watching the comments, it's so funny, joking about telling it to send, you know, long, desperate messages to your exes asking for a second chance and just funny things like that. OpenAI says it will not dig through old texts unless specifically asked to, but people aren't exactly convinced on that.
That sounds like a nightmare waiting to happen, especially if it's like in a touch, an accidental touch or an accidental click of something could be your worst nightmare. Imagine.
Yeah, I don't like the idea of someone asking or texting on your behalf. Like, you just never know. It still makes mistakes. That's the thing that people, I think, don't fully comprehend, that just because it's AI doesn't mean it's right all the time. I've seen so many mistakes being made on stuff like that.
Oh, and then what's next? We're going to have audio messages by our voice sent by AI next? No.
No. So don't be surprised if you use this and like your ex does show up at your house and you're like, wait, what are you even doing here? Paseo Verde Little League beat Iowa yesterday 14-6 to advance to the Little League U.S. Championship game. And we have got to talk about it. We are headed to Williamsport again this morning to talk to Coach Corey Edwards and also the only woman left standing in the Little League World Series, Carson Meyer. Good morning, you two.
Good morning.
How are you feeling today? You must be on top of the world.
I'm pumped. I'm super excited for Saturday.
Carson, you are such an icon in this Little League World Series. You were one of two girls playing in it. Is that a lot of pressure on you? You're also the 26th girl to ever play in the Little League World Series. How does that sit with you?
I
I mean, I was, like, a little nervous at first, but, like, now that we've, like, played games, I'm just ready and excited.
Are you getting a lot of attention there because you're a girl?
Yeah, a lot of people have come up to me, like, just today, a lot of people came up for autographs and photos.
That is so cool. We're so proud of you. Coach, these kids, I mean, they just came out on that game and absolutely just killed it. Talk to us about the mindset of them right now. Are they tired? Are they excited? What are they feeling?
I feel like we're confident, feeling good about the position we put ourselves in. I know we're going to compete with anybody. So the kids are just enjoying the experience. They like a nice off day. They got to sleep in today. But super happy with our performances lately, and the kids are excited.
What? Okay, you guys play again on Saturday, right? Do you know who you're playing now, or do we have to wait?
We have to wait. The game's almost over. But right now, Great Lakes is playing Iowa, and the winner plays us.
Okay, all right. So is there any preference on who you play on that game?
Not really. I think we know who they'd be throwing each way. We're just going to do our thing. We've been steady and focused on what we're doing. And so we're going to stay on that track.
Carson, let's talk a little bit about your experience at Williamsport. Now, this is not the first time you've played there, correct?
Yeah, I played here before.
No, when did you play there before and what was that for?
I played here in June for like a all girls legacy series to celebrate the first girl to ever play in the league.
So going back, did you feel like you were kind of showing your teammates around, like, okay, I've been here before, let me explain this to you?
Yeah, I knew where everything was, and I wanted to tell them where everything was.
There was another girl in the tournament this year too, Kinley Rasmus from Alabama. Have you two talked, and did you guys get to hang out at all?
Yeah, we've talked a lot, and we've hung out a lot, too.
What do you think of her?
I think she's super nice. She's fun, and her accent is fun.
She has an accent?
Yeah.
Well, you guys are one win away from bringing home the U.S. championship. What, in your opinion, Carson, does the dugout feel like right now? Nerves, confidence, both?
I think everyone is like very confident in themselves and the team, and everyone's just excited because I think we can do this.
I think you guys can too. We're so excited for you. If there's a 7-year-old girl here in Las Vegas or in Henderson listening right now or seeing you on TV, Carson, and they decide they want to play baseball because of you, what do you want her to know about that?
I just want her to know that, like, that makes me feel so happy, and I think she'll do great at it.
You can do anything you set your mind to. Coach, what's it like coaching this player?
I think inspiration to a lot of young kids out there, showing that if you have the right attitude and you want to do something, growth mindset, just go out and do it.
We're so excited for you guys. Can you believe it? You have made it all this way. And it's because of wonderful coaches, wonderful parents, and these awesome players. We can't wait to see what's happening on Saturday. Good luck, you guys.
Thank you. Thanks for all the support.
Oh,
really appreciate it.
We love it. We are so proud of you. I just looking at Carson and her confidence and just going out there every day. She's the last woman standing.
It's so incredible. One of the last, and just the feeling of having it being from Vegas, it gives me such warmth.
Yeah, there's we produce a lot of good ball players from this part of the country.
I noticed that moving here. I was like, okay, is baseball lots of big here? Because there's no professional baseball team when we moved here.
Oh man.
But now look at it.
They're doing great. Can't wait to see Saturday. Waiting to see who they end up playing, and they win that. They win the U.S. championship, go on to the world championship. My goodness, that's so great. Congratulations. Thank you, Coach Corey Edwards and Carson Meyer from Paseo Verde Little League. Okay, it is time to win. Who is ready for the Mega Minute? We have your tickets right now for the Jonas Brothers. They are bringing their Burning Up All Over Again tour to Las Vegas November MGM Grand Garden Arena, and you are going if you conquer the Mega Minute. You get 10 questions, 60 seconds. You answer them all correct in that time, and you are on your way. Who is ready to conquer the Mega Minute? Caller 20 right now. You get to play. 702-364-9400. It's Mix.
Are you ready?
It's time for Mercedes in the Morning's Mega Minute.
Okay, we have our contestant. It is Missy. Good morning, Missy. You're caller 20.
Good morning, Mercedes. We're ready.
Oh, who's we? You have someone with you this morning?
I do. I have my son, Nikki, and his buddy, Daniel.
Hey, Nikki and Daniel.
What's up?
Let's do this, guys. Okay, here's how it works. We've got 10 questions ready to go for you. You answer all 10 of them correctly in 60 seconds. You're going to see the Jonas Brothers. Now, keep in mind, if you know the answer, scream it out. If I hear anyone say the correct answer, we're going to move on to the next question, okay?
Sounds great.
If you guys are struggling with the question, you can say pass, or if you get one wrong, and if we have time at the end, we'll go back to those questions. And the Mega Minute, it starts now.
Who is the lead singer of No Doubt?
Gwen Stefani.
Yes. If I'm at O'Hare International Airport, what city am I in?
Pass.
Before acting, what was Dwayne The Rock Johnson known for? Yes. What movie is the reference Team Edward or Team Jacob from?
Twilight.
Yes. What is it called when a bowler rolls three strikes in a row?
Barbie.
Yes. The song Dance the Night by Dua Lipa is from which 2023 movie?
Pass.
What country icon passed away on Tuesday at the age of 80?
Dolly Parton.
Yes. How many colors are in a rainbow?
Six.
No. If I'm at Coney Island, yes. If I'm at Coney Island, what city am I in?
New Jersey.
City.
New York.
Yes. Zayn Malik was originally a part of which boy band?
One Direction.
Yes. If I'm at O'Hare International Airport, what city?
Chicago.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. But we just missed it by one. Ah, Missy and Nikki and Daniel, I love how you all work together on that. I almost said Chicago on accident.
But you took it back.
At the very beginning, that accidentally slipped out. But yeah, we had to go back to that. You did get it. The colors in the rainbow. You said six initially, but I heard a seven. If I'm at Coney Island, what city am I in? You said New York. We're gonna say accept that New York City. Like whatever. So, but we did miss the song Dance the Night by Dua Lipa is from which 2023 movie? And that is Barbie, the Barbie movie.
Yeah.
You guys did so well. I was really convinced that we were going to be able to get this one done. Unfortunately, it wasn't enough to conquer the Mega Minute, which means caller 20 right now, you're getting these tickets. Two of them to see the Jonas Brothers, the Burning Up tour all over again, MGM Grand Garden Arena. Caller 20, you get them now, 702-364-9400. Oh, this week keeps taking people from us. Tim Curry passed away Tuesday at the age of 80 after years of declining health following a stroke back in 2012. If you grew up loving weird, wonderful movies, this one stings. He originated Dr. Frankenfurter in the Rocky Horror Picture Show, first on a London stage, then in the 1975 film that turned into a full-blown cult phenomenon. He was also the original Pennywise in the 1990 version
no
of It.
Way.
Yeah.
Scarred me for life.
He was so terrifying. And somehow he also, this is the same guy who played the butler in Clue, showed up in Annie, Treasure Island, The Hunt for Red October, Home Alone 2.
That's like, my favorite one, the Home Alone 2.
The range, mm-hmm. though, right? The range on that resume is almost funny on its own. He'd actually just wrapped filming on a sequel to a 2024 horror movie called Stream. So he was still working right up until the very end. So yeah, the role I think of when I hear his name is Rocky Horror Picture Show first, but then also Pennywise. It really freaks me out.
Pennywise all day. Yeah, the original.
Yeah. Also this morning, here's one that's going to make you feel weird about your camera roll. Researchers found that when people screenshot something to remember it later, they actually remember it worse than if they had just looked at it and moved on. They're calling it the photo-taking impairment effect, which is a theory that if your brain checks out the second it knows the information is safe somewhere else, why bother holding on to it yourself and when your phone's got it covered? The one exception is if you actually go back and revisit your screenshots regularly, then you get to keep the memory. But be honest, have you ever like gone back and gone through all your screenshots?
Never. I let that go. And I'm horrible. I'm so bad at this. I'm a hoarder of photos and videos. James is like, your storage, you need to start deleting stuff because we share an iCloud storage space. And I'm like, I know, but I suck at it.
Yeah, I take screenshots all the time and I never go back and look at them. I'm actually going through my phone right now to see. And it's just like random websites and stuff like that that I want to remember. It's like, I really need to go through and clean these out so bad.
Oh, I have such random screenshots. I have like recipes for a homemade hamburger helper.
Yeah.
A workout plan. Like, I don't need this anymore.
I know. We need to do a massive undertaking of cleaning out our iPhones.
For sure.
Finally, this morning, nothing starts a fight faster than talking about money and parenting. So here we go. A new poll of Americans found that 62% think kids should get an allowance, but they should have to earn it through chores. Do you guys agree?
Yes.
62%.
Wait, what? Ramon, no, you're a no?
I mean, I grew up in a household where my dad said, you're not, like, why should I pay you for something you should already do?
So you don't think they should get an allowance
no.
at all?
Nope.
Only 17% think allowance should just be handed out with no strings attached, just as a way to teach kids about money without tying it to labor. 8% said no allowance at all, and 13% of us are just still sitting on the fence. But as for when to start, most people landed on 7 to 9 years old. But interestingly, Gen Z tends to think they should wait until they're teenagers before you start giving them an allowance.
What is it like in your household, Mercedes?
We've never given the kids an allowance. And it's wow. the same as yours, Ramon. Like, yeah. You just have jobs you have to do. Like, your job is the trash. Your job is, doing the laundry. Your job is doing this. Like, everyone just has their job.
Yeah, it's easy stuff, right? Like, put your socks away.
Right. But on the other end, if they need something that they really want and they've been doing well and their grades are good, like, we'll give them the money for it. You know,
100% agree.
It just needs to, we don't pay them to do the work because they're unpaid child labor in my
house. Hey, my incentive is like, hey, you want me to wash dishes? $20. Give it to me.
Mix 94.1, it's Mercedes in the morning. It's time for Jerk or Justified. If you ever have a situation you'd like us to talk about for Jerk or Justified, we love getting your emails and your DMs. You can do it on social media at Mercedes in the AM or just send us an email through our website, mix941.fm. Okay, this one was an email. It says, good morning, everyone. My name is Ariana, and I'm a longtime fan of your show. You guys have been my rock for the last 2 years, and I can't thank you enough. Well, thank you. That's really nice. It says, well, I'm emailing you for Jerk or Justified. My new neighbors have decided to put out orange traffic cones in front of their house so no one can park there. We live in a very congested neighborhood, and sometimes you have to park in front of a neighbor's house, and it's never an issue, and no one complains. Would I be a total jerk if I just moved the cones on the sidewalk and parked there anyway? They don't own the street. I know I have the right to park in front of their house, but I'm wondering if it's worth the conflict. I feel like someone will eventually just move them and park there, but should I be the first? How would you guys handle the situation? Would she be a jerk to move the cones, or would she be completely justified to do that? That's from Ariana, 702-364-9400. If there's anything I've learned that when it comes to neighbor conflicts, parking in front of people's houses is always a big one. There's like the people who are like, hey, you don't own the road, you don't own the street, you can park wherever you want. And then there's others that are like, hey, please don't park in front of my house. I don't want other cars in front of my house. People are very, very sensitive about this topic, and there's no in between. I feel like you're on one side or the other. What do you guys think?
Ariana, you are a jerk if and only if your new neighbors are still moving in. I think it's acceptable to be like, hey, you know, the movers are about to come in. I'm waiting for the truck to come and give it a couple days of a grace period. But if they're taking advantage of the cones and they're 30 days in and they're fully moved in, then you're justified. But you're only a jerk if it's still in that new moving in process.
I didn't get that they were moving in.
They're new neighbors, right? So I'm assuming I'm getting the expectation. Okay, if they're new neighbors, I'm giving the scenario.
Okay.
If they're still moving in. But if they're not, then
yeah.
Move them.
I took it more as like they're new to the neighborhood. They're just like, hey, no one can park here. This is our area. And the way I look at it, look, I don't like when people park in front of my house either. I don't like it at all. But, you know, a cone's not a deed. You know, a cone's not a restraining order. It doesn't hold any sort of legal jurisdiction over a public street. So I don't care how confidently you set that cone down. If they want guaranteed parking, might I suggest your driveway? You know, maybe a garage that's guaranteed parking. But especially if the street is really congested, I, however, would not move the cones. I'd wait for someone else to do it.
Oh my God.
I don't want to be the first one. I don't want to be the first one to do it. Blame it on someone else. I don't want to be the one that you come yelling at. So I would just kind of wait. And then when someone moves the cones, sneak right in
there.
They're
going to be on your Ring. The Ring camera. Yes. Video is going to be posted on those neighbor
apps. You're going to be on the Nextdoor app. And so don't just wait till someone else does it. But what do you guys think? Your calls are coming in. 702-364-9400. Help Ariana. Does she move the cones in front of her neighbor's house so she can park there? Would she be a total jerk to do that, or would she be completely justified? We'll take your calls and read your texts here coming up right after Somber. It's Mix 94.1. It's jerk or justified, and today's drama comes from Ariana. She says her new neighbors moved onto her street and immediately claimed it as their own personal parking lot, not with a fence or a sign or anything, but with orange traffic cones, the kind you see like blocking off a pothole or something, except these people are using them to save the street parking. And Ariana's neighborhood is one of those tight ones where everyone parks in front of everyone's homes, and that's just how it works. Nobody's ever made it an issue. So now she's staring at these cones wondering, do I just move them and park there like a normal person, or does that make me a jerk here? What do you think, jerk or justified? Let's talk to Julie. Hey, good morning, Julie. What do you think?
Good morning. First of all, I want to say how awesome you guys. You guys make my day every day.
Oh, Julie, thank you. You're definitely welcome. Justified for that.
I think she's justified as well. Just remove the cones kindly, put them on the sidewalk, and park your vehicle. She doesn't own the street, and there's confined space.
Now, I like that theory. Is there a way to move cones kindly?
Yeah, put them on the sidewalk, right in front of your car.
Kind of like, oopsie daisy, let's move these over here. I like that. I think you're right. She doesn't own the street. Julie, thanks for the kind words. You made our day. We really appreciate it. Let's talk to Karen. Hey, Karen, good morning. Jerk or justified?
Jerk.
Jerk. Don't move the cones.
No. Justified. I'm sorry. I got it backwards.
That's okay.
It's a public street. Am I right?
Yes, you are absolutely right.
Okay. So by putting the cones out, isn't she impeding traffic?
Oh, I wonder if you could get a ticket for that. That's a good point, Karen. A lot of people agreeing with you. This one says, I have a friend with a truck that doesn't live in the neighborhood, comes by and picks up the cones. That way they can't track who took the cones. Okay, there's an idea. This one says, park in front of your own home. Use your garage or driveway. Parking in front of your neighbor's home should be a last resort and on a limited temporary basis, not a daily thing. Billy, you've been through this before. What happened? Jerk or justified?
I think she's justified to move them, but I mean, all I can say is good luck, and I feel sorry for her.
What happened with your situation?
In front of our house, there's a big shade tree, and everybody loves to park there. And, I mean, I think she does it so, but I've been in the neighbor's position where I didn't want anybody parking in front of my house. And me and my neighbor would go back and forth there for a while. It wasn't pretty, but he doesn't park there no more, though.
Oh, I'm not going to ask you how you got him to not park there anymore. Thanks, Billy. Some of our Facebook posts, Ted says, sorry, but that's a public street. You should be able to park anywhere there is a spot. Cindy says, you're a jerk. I have two beautiful, huge trees in front of my house. So all the neighbors think, oh, that's for me to park. Then when my kids want to park there, there's no parking. I don't blame your neighbors for putting cones there. If I had some, I'd probably do the same thing. It gets very old not being able to park in front of your own house. Brianna says, this is one of my pet peeves. Park in front of your own house or driveway. Don't take my parking. Brooke says they have no legal right to put a cone in front of their house and hold that space. I would be moving that cone onto the sidewalk and parking there. Let them escalate it if they want. Brie, wrap this up for us. Jerk or justified? Good morning.
Good morning. I live in a gated HOA, and it's in our laws that only the homeowner can park in front of the house.
Ooh.
So I had to write a few notes to remind my neighbors of that little fact.
What do you write in the notes?
just a simple, hey, can you park somewhere else? There's parking on both sides of the streets with parking lots. And per the HOA, my tenant needs to use this spot.
Very professional. Like, and not super threatening. That's a nice way to do it. I know you're in an apartment complex, Steph. What about you, Ramon? Do you guys have parking issues in your neighborhood?
I think Ariana should run over those cones.
Run over them.
Yeah, it's. I just want to be petty about it because it's a, like everybody keeps saying, it's a public area. Like maybe she doesn't have room in front of her house either, or in her driveway.
Yeah, it's funny because in our neighborhood, when anyone parks in front of my house, I'm immediately staring out the window like, who is that?
Who
is that?
With Mercedes in the morning on Mix 94.1.
Hey, Ayla, you're caller 20. Good morning. Woo!
Good morning. How are you?
We are great this morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good. Let's get you some tickets to Lindsay Sterling. It's heads up time. Pick a category. Do you want to go with real talk or it's morphin' time?
Ooh, real talk.
Real talk. Okay, August is National Fishing Month. So these are all things associated with fishing. Reel as in R-E-E-L. Reel it in,
okay.
You know? Okay, so we just need 6 and 60 seconds, and you're going to win these tickets. Are you ready?
All right, okay. Let's see what we can do.
Okay.
You guys got this. Your 60 seconds for heads up. It starts now.
You put this on the end of your line to attract the fish.
A lure.
No, it's like maybe it's like those little
bait.
Yes, bait. This is a type of fish. It swims upstream. It's pink.
A trout?
No, maybe them. It's like it's in Alaska. It's pink. It's
salmon.
Yes, this is mead over by Hoover Dam. Is what mead? That's a what?
A lake.
Yes. You might put this as bait on your fish. It's alive. It squiggles around.
Warm.
Yes. This is a type of fish you just mentioned. Not salmon, but...
bass?
No, the other one you said.
Trout.
Yes. This is... sometimes you use this to take the fish out of the water. Once you catch it, you use one of these to...
a net?
Yes!
Wow! Nice!
Wow! Do you fish, Ayla?
I do not, so I was really nervous.
I was too. How did two non-fishing people get this category correct? That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You are welcome.
Mix 94.1. This is Mercedes in the morning.
Have you ever gotten...
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Revenge on a coworker. And not like a nasty email, maybe you deleted before sending, or a passive aggressive comment. Just actual plotted, where you were like, I am going to get this person. You did me wrong, and now you are going to pay for it, revenge. Because I was surprised a whole lot of people have. The survey came out that says 4 in 10 people, 44%, admit they have sought workplace revenge on a coworker.
Oh my gosh.
And when you look at straight up like villain behavior, the most common move was purposely slowing down or lowering the quality of your work just to spite someone, which is very petty, right?
Yeah.
But also very effective. That would annoy me. Right behind that, people admitted to spreading unflattering rumors about a coworker, hiding their belongings, eating their lunch out of the break room fridge, even deleting work off their computer.
Oh, that's cruel.
That is like, that's just not even funny. I don't know what you're seeking out when you get revenge, but doing something like that is so bad. It escalates to getting a coworker fired made the list. That's a whole different level, you know, like taking someone's lunch versus getting them fired. Come on now. But the part that got me was who's actually doing it. 45% of senior managers admitted to seeking revenge.
You're kidding me.
Compared to 36% of the entry-level workers. Has anyone, no judgment, we just want to hear your stories, ever sought out revenge on a coworker? And what did you do? 702-364-9400. Maybe you were the victim of it. Did a coworker get revenge on you for something and you had to deal with the repercussions? What happened? Have you ever taken revenge on someone you worked with, and why did you do it?
Witnessed it, and it was dramatic. So we had layoffs in a other radio station building I worked for, and I was there around the clock, and I was hearing like someone yelling in the hallway. And so I went out of my studio just to be like, is everything okay? They were yelling at their boss, not to their boss, but about another coworker, because before this coworker got fired, they went into the studio and started unplugging microphones for revenge. Geez. And they went to go to do their live break, to do their shift. And when they turned the mic on, nothing was going through the airwaves. And there was dead air. Everything was going on. And so I'm hearing yelling. They're like, so-and-so, you just let go, unplugged all the microphones, blah, 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 blah. Although it was brilliant, I would not recommend.
I mean, that's an easy fix, but it's so petty. Like, come on, you know, just move on. We're getting some. I'm not a revenge person. I am the last person that's going to seek revenge on you. Maybe that's a bad quality, but I don't have the energy to do it. Honestly, I just don't. I may cut you off, like not in a mean way, but you know, I'll still say hello and stuff. I'm not going to be rude to you to your face, but like no more extra effort, no more checking in, no more, you know, giving you anything beyond what's required. Maybe I'll do that. But as far as like seeking out revenge, don't even have the time.
Like,
I got too much going on, you know? I don't like to carry that vengeful energy. It just does not. It makes you feel bad, right? I don't get any joy in seeing someone else getting miserable. That does not do it for me.
And then you're just harnessing negative energy that's unnecessary.
Yeah.
Because for what? Then you're going to be plotting, oh my God, it's going to be so funny if I go onto their work computer and I delete all their work. Like, what does that do for you?
It doesn't. I don't know. Does it make you happy? Maybe it does. We're getting some text here. Renee says, I forgot, in quotes, I forgot to tell a rude coworker about free donuts in the break room for an entire year. Okay, that's revenge I can get on board with.
Yeah.
Like you just didn't say anything. This says, I switched a coworker's ringtone to something embarrassing and it took her 2 weeks to notice. What were you doing on her phone? Rude. Like, you shouldn't be getting on there. Or maybe it was like the office phone. Ashley says, I brought in the good snacks and only offered them to everyone except the one person who was awful to me. She noticed. I don't think that's revenge. I feel you're entitled to give the good snacks to whoever you want to. And
very
if someone's
true.
Mean to you, why should you have to do this? This text says, I had asked for bereavement because my grandpa died, and she tried denying it to me. So I said, I take it to upper management because I was not going to miss his funeral. And then the day I returned to work, she told me I was fired.
No way.
And handed me my final check. Ugh. Wow.
Heartbreak after heartbreak on that
Yeah, this maybe that was a good thing, though, that you don't have to work for a person like that. This says my direct manager didn't like me and they didn't like the way I was so good at my job because clients would only want to work with me and not my coworkers. Did you get in trouble for that? Like, what happened in that situation? This one says, someone took credit for my idea in a meeting, so I stopped correcting their typos in shared documents forever.
There. It's apostrophe R-E.
It would make you look like the idiot that you are, that you don't know how to spell.
It's time for the Hot 3 on Mix 94.1.
Okay, so let's see. What do we got going on here? Grab the Hot 3. The NFL, they just made a change that honestly should have happened years ago. They're eliminating the Pro Bowl game entirely.
Finally.
I know. But the actual honor of being named a Pro Bowler is that's sticking around. The league executives presented this plan to the team owners, and it comes after years of the league trying everything to make that game watchable. Tackle football, flag football, skills competitions, you name it. They tried it and it just didn't work. Voting still happens the same way. Fans, players, coaches all weigh in. But instead of watching guys, you know, jog through a game that nobody's trying in, the players are going to just get flown out to LA in February for an in-person celebration. So no more replacement players scrambling in either. Basically, the NFL finally admitted what we've all known for decades. No one was watching that game.
I can't even tell you the last time I watched a Pro Bowl game. Do you guys?
No. I think I watched last year to see what they were doing with the skills competition, and I lasted like 5 minutes. I was like, this is really boring.
Ratings probably were horrible
even when it was here, I was like, no thanks. I think it stopped being cool when they took it away from Hawaii.
Is that when it was? Because that was like a paid vacation, so they actually wanted to go for
exactly,
that one.
Yeah, they had the game in Honolulu, and I was like, it felt like a vacation to the players.
Yeah, and then when you start doing it here on the mainland, they're like, no thanks.
I've been there. Been there, done that.
Also this morning, Ally Bank, they just dropped their first cost of life today report, and it put a number on something a lot of us have been feeling. They surveyed adults and found that 77% of people are cutting back, delaying, or avoiding spending on things that actually make them happy. The average person scored just 54.2 out of 100 on what they're calling the joy index, which basically means most of us are living in what they label kind of joy pressured territory. Over the last 3 months alone, people pulled back on dining out, shopping, entertainment, travel, home projects. And when they asked what feels like a luxury today, the top answer wasn't a fancy vacation or a designer bag. It was just having money left over when the bills were paid. And that tells you a lot about where we are right now.
Yeah. Is there anything for you guys that stick out that you're like, oh, no, got to sacrifice this happiness to pay the bills?
We definitely don't order out as much as we used to. That used to be something that we're like, oh, now it's like, well, let me see what I can throw together. Let's see what
fast
we have.
Food,
yeah, exactly. What about you guys?
Dance.
Or like the barbershop. I used to go much more often. Mm-hmm. I paid like $20 before. Now it's like $50.
Yes.
$50
for a haircut.
For a guy's haircut?
Yeah, I used to pay $20.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. I pulled back like on dance classes. I told you I've been trying to go weekly, and it's kind of gone to every other week because bills, man, they stack up.
Oh, man. That's great. That's not great clips. That must be like amazing clips. Finally, this morning, Dolly Parton, I think a lot of us are still trying to, you know, process the loss of such a wonderful person. And what's interesting is that she spent years quietly building a roadmap for everything she wanted done when she was gone. And her team shared what is coming. Her longtime manager said she worked right up until the day she died, and she wanted to keep bringing people joy even from here on out. So mark your calendars, because there's a lot headed our way, guys. So the Songteller Hotel and her Life of Many Colors Museum, that opens in Nashville on September 29th. That's the same day her Cup of Ambition coffee launches online.
You're talking about in a month.
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Oh, she had this all in the works. This girl planned stuff out. Dolly Dolls drop on September 15th. There's something called Dolly on the Holly that's coming this holiday season. I'm not sure what it is. I think it's probably like Elf on a Shelf. Oh. Where it's Dolly on a Holly.
Okay, I don't know.
That's coming out. The Broadway musical Dolly, a true original musical, starts previews in December with opening night landing on January 19th, which would have been her 81st birthday. After that, we've got a Kendra Scott jewelry line, dog treats, a bedding collection, an animated series based on her real life, a French bulldog, plus a documentary, a biopic, a docuseries, all somewhere in the pop line. She really did leave the assignment before she left
us. Oh my gosh. I mean, to the day she probably planned the day she died. She's like, I'll mark your calendar. It's August 25th.
She seriously was so adamant about bringing people happiness in different areas, from dogs with their dog treats, to people who like the theater, to people who want to go to an amusement park, to people who like to bake cakes. Like, she literally has done it all.
Wait, she has another musical. Doesn't she already have one called 9 to 5 on Broadway?
Yeah, this Broadway musical is about her life.
Her actual life.
Yeah.
And that's it. The movie. Got it.
Yeah, that comes out in January. So, you know what? We still get a little piece of her, which I think we're going to all have to be satisfied with, but definitely quite the loss that we're still dealing with.
What you're listening to presumably doesn't suck, so neither should your sound system. Sonos lets you listen seamlessly from room to room. Same great sound, expertly tuned, astonishingly clear. It's not magic, but it's not magic.